It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello, and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue. Alongside of me is the world famous Pot Brothers at Law, Mark and Craig Wasserman. Alongside of them is Mr. Big Joe Grande.
He made it.
How are you doing today, Joe?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's so wonderful to be out here in beautiful Long Beach, California. And thank you guys for listening to the podcast all around the world. Of course, go to our website, CannabisTalk101.com, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis.
Yes.
And feel free to give us a call and say hello,
1-800-420-1980.
And make sure you check out all of our Instagram pages for news, the script, and so much more at CannabisTalk101, at Pot_Brothers_@_Law. Mark is at Waslaw. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. Blue is at the number one Christopher Wright.
Hello.
And I am at Joe Grande 52. And as we are here, of course, celebrating Veterans Day, we have from Veterans Canna Coalition, Eric Gopal.
I'm not that great.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us here. I want to get the backstory, man. How do you start Veterans Canna Coalition?
Right, so I'm an Army veteran. I served for 7 years.
Thank you for your service, of course.
Of course, thank you. And did 2 tours in Iraq, 1 in the Philippines, worked as a defense contractor in Afghanistan for a year, ended up going back to school, Long Beach City College, transferred to Berkeley, all paid for by the taxpayer, thank you, through the GI Bill.
Isn't that great? I was always a fan of that.
Right?
Yeah.
Free education.
It's nice when it works out the way it's supposed to.
And how'd that go for you, though? Going to Berkeley's nice. I mean, big school.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were lucky enough to take me. No, that's not the right answer. No. I'm trying to do right by the alma mater, you know?
Right. Yes.
Representing on cannabis issues, and basically ended up in D.C. at the end of my time in school. Intern, legislative fellow in the Senate. Finally ended up at the American Legion, where I worked in national security policy before I decided that drug policy, and specifically cannabis, I think was where I was going to make my biggest contribution.
When did you start getting into that?
So that was about 2018. My co-founder and I, Bill Ferguson, he's also an Iraq war veteran, is an infantryman who served alongside Paul Rykoff, who happens to be also the founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And Bill was on one of the several teams of post 9/11 veterans who were working legislative policy in DC. He helped get past the post 9/11 GI Bill, which is what put me through school, as well as several other major pieces of legislation that's, you know, now paid out tens of billions of dollars in benefits to veterans. And that experience that Bill had basically paired with the fact that we're both cannabis patients as well, right? We both have PTSD, both have chronic pain, sleep issues. We were both using cannabis to treat a variety of things. And Bill, especially, had gone through the experience of going to the VA, you know, getting the combat cocktail of pharmaceuticals, at that time, opioids, benzos, antipsychotics, antidepressants, NSAIDs, the whole medicine cabinet.
Literally.
We've heard
literally.
Of it.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures of, you know, many different patients pouring out just all their
pill after pill.
I mean, we've had vets on our show that are spread all over the table.
Like 300,
different
pills.
So you can see the same pattern that I saw.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like this is you know, if you care to pay attention, it's right in your face.
Yes.
And here's some of the stats, guy. 120,000 veterans have died by suicide since 2001.
Wow.
Okay. That is 5,800 to 6,500 every year for the last 20 years, while the overall veteran population has dropped by 6 million. So we have one-third fewer veterans than we did 20 years ago. We have just as high or close to as high of suicide rates as we've ever had. And, you know, the VA is asking for $270 billion this year. I'm not saying that they don't need that money. I'm just saying what we're doing right now isn't working.
No, it's not.
No. And what veterans have found themselves, even though they're criminalized, even though they're stigmatized for using cannabis, is that this has worked where nothing else has. And I think that's where we become such powerful messengers, because there's a lot, you know, there's not a lot you're going to say to a combat, well, I'm not, don't include myself in that necessarily, a combat wounded veteran who has, you know, had maybe a traumatic brain injury or, you know, severe PTSD or has been otherwise been struggling with mental and physical health issues for years in some cases, decades in other cases. And this is the only thing that ever really provided them relief.
Wow.
And going back more for your story, 7 years, you said, correct?
Yes.
And talk a little bit about that. As you mentioned, you have your PTSD from there and serving the tour. I mean, do you talk about what you experience?
Oh, yeah.
Can you share with us?
Yeah, you got to be an advocate, man. Like, you know, part of destigmatizing this is being able to talk about this without, you know, fear or whatever, judgment.
Judgment, yeah. Of course, you were doing a job, I mean, for God's sakes.
Well, I mean, and you know, the reality is that military service, whether you served in combat or not, is traumatizing.
Sure.
You do not ever have to go to combat for the military to find a way to fuck you up.
I agree. Okay? Yeah.
Like my, you know, I'm not going to use a whole lot of personal examples. I don't want to put them out there, but... essentially, you know, I have family members who have served, you know, they've lost friends in training accidents, for example. Someone dying in your arms, whether it's combat or whether they got killed because, you know, someone fucked up, like, that doesn't really matter, right? PTSD is PTSD. You can get it from a car crash. Right?
Yeah.
You know, you can get your chronic pain from you can get your chronic pain running 12 miles a day like like a lot of units force you to do.
100%. Right? I agree. There's so many different ways it happens. I agree. And as we look at these things and, like, I agree with that. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just so many people that get mistreated and misdiagnosed as far as so many pills and so much cannabis that's, like, being not legal, first off. Like, if people are in there in the military now, I can't wait for the point where, okay, cool, they're done or they need it. But they don't have any problem if you're out there fighting, here's some pills, right?
Yeah, or booze.
Or right? Booze, right?
I mean, like, okay. Glorified, normalized alcohol and tobacco in the military. Booze, you know, alcohol-associated deaths, I think, are like 92,000 a year. You know, tobacco-associated deaths is nationally, you know, 575,000, somewhere in there. Like, these are substances with pronounced public health issues that, you know, as much as the federal government has tried for the last 50 years, they have never been able to pin a single death on cannabis, not without trying, right? And I'm an advocate, and I'm willing to say here, cannabis isn't a silver bullet. It has risks, right? And I'm willing to kind of imagine some scenario where someone did die from a cannabis-associated issue, and yet even the government, the feds, DEA, HHS, doesn't matter. They still won't own that.
Well, it goes back to saying this. I mean, you have to realize that, again, we live in the United States. There's no way that the United States would say it's medical marijuana or medical cannabis if it did not have medicinal value, right? So we're just too, you know, conservative. There's no way. So we know that
it's the dinosaurs in office.
Value, but right now we have a serious issue that it's not being, you know, introduced into, you know, insurance, and it needs to be issued.
Vets.
It needs to be issued to vets and create more opportunity like we're doing now for veterans. If nothing else, I mean, that this is a beautiful thing that, you know, Immersa, Catalyst, and Blacklist, and ourselves, Cannabis Talk 101, you being out here, and all these beautiful people, is showing support. And we're creating a message. And so, you know, thank you for that. And we appreciate you as well, you know, taking your stance in this world, in this planet, you know.
Well, I mean, and luckily we live in a state, California, that has passed a law called SB 34.
Yes.
I think,
right.
You know, I'm also a member of the Los Angeles chapter of Normal.
We love Normal.
On that board of directors. And I do Veterans Affairs in that capacity as well. And basically in the two hats of Veterans Cannabis Coalition and LA Normal, I help, you know, a lot of other nonprofits and member, you know, licensed operators within the supply chain create programs that provide consistent, compassionate donations at no cost to veteran patients.
How has Senate Bill 34 helped you?
So, I mean, it provides a legal pathway. So the industry has a way right now. They will be excused certain taxes, use, excise, cultivation, depending on where you know, which kind of operating license you're using and who's doing the donation.
Right.
And basically it gets to a retailer. The retailer verifies the doctor recommendations and does everything, you know, that you would normally do for any legal product sale. And instead of selling it, the patient gets it for free. It's not unique to veterans by any stretch. Obviously my focus is on veterans. However, you know, this program, you know, it's being operated by, you know, groups who are engaged in compassion all across the street. Yeah.
You're good. I'm talking to my engineer.
Right. Yeah, and just shout out real quick to Weed for Warriors Project, who's doing a lot of that great work, Operation EVAC.
You know, and speaking of Weed for Warriors, you know, and this is a shameless plug that I'm going to give Mark and Craig Wasserman, because they've been, you know, offering and donating their legal services to the Weed for Warriors now for several years, right?
Yeah, we've helped them out for quite a while. We hooked up with Sean Kieran, and wonderful, wonderful man.
Love Sean, such a good dude.
Very passionate, and, you know, right there on the front lines.
Yeah.
In the middle of navigating both sides of the extreme business world that he's able to tap into, and all the bullshit that the vets have suffered through and are still suffering. It should be so simple for a vet to just go get some fucking cannabis.
Yeah.
And for that to be the first option, especially when they go to the doctors.
Well, let's come back from this break real quick and talk about these options and how people can get a hold of Eric Gopel from Veterans Canna Coalition. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
Yes.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101, all the way live in Long Beach on Pine and 4th, 5th, 6th. I mean, they've got the whole place shut down.
Yeah.
Harvest for Heroes, brought to you by Catalyst, Immersia, Blacklist, ourselves, Cannabis Talk 101, Rocket Seed, Steezy. There's so many fantastic people here.
And speaking of Rocket Seed, you guys, if you're looking for high-quality seeds, head to rocketseeds.com right now or check them out on Instagram at rocket_seeds. For trusted cannabis seeds, Rocket Seeds is a trusted source for thousands of quality cannabis seeds at a fair price. It's rocketseeds.com. As we're here all the way live in Long Beach, we got Eric Gopel from Veterans Canna Coalition. Now, Eric, how do people get in touch with you, and how can we help you help all these veterans?
Thank you. www.veteranscanna.org is our website. We're on all the social media channels, at Veterans Canna Coalition for the most of them. And then as far as how everyone can help contribute, I mean, this is something, going back to SB 34, it's a real opportunity for the industry to step up and to, you know, work with people who are working in the compassion space to get product to patients, because there's millions of dollars being destroyed, millions more being, you know, left on the farms.
So yep. if I'm in a community somewhere and there's a legal licensed shop, storefront, and I want them to provide cannabis for vets in the area, what would I do? Where would I start? What would you recommend?
Well, I guess I would look to see if there are any other compassion orgs in the area, because I think most retailers and operators want to work with an organization that they can, you know, essentially lean on to do certain functions of the program, which is where, you know, Los Angeles Normal Veterans Cannabis Coalition comes in. But obviously, we're not the only people in the space. But that being said, yeah.
But so somebody like that would be directed to your organization.
Well, I think expressing interest into any retailer that you want to see SB 34 is always a good sign, because I think that sends a great signal that folks are paying attention.
I love that.
And as you do this, I want you to pat yourself on the back and tell and share some stories, as you say, passion things.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that people should know that you guys have done?
All right. So, formed in 2018, we helped lobby on the VA Medicinal Cannabis Research Act, which became the first cannabis bill to ever pass a congressional committee. I got to parse that really closely. After that, we testified before Congress in 2019, right on Juneteenth, before the House Small Business Committee, talking about why we should end cannabis prohibition and what veterans bring to the legal cannabis space.
When you were being questioned,
yes.
Were there any... You know, whoever Congress,
yes.
Senate, I want to taste. I want to, you know, because we watch and we see,
sure.
we see some of these guys, and I'm just curious what I could only imagine was just bullshit.
There was some grandstanding, and there were some really left field questions. I think the best one was from a gentleman from Tennessee who asked, you know, basically made the comparison between cannabis and beer, right? And I made the comment that, well, you know, children aren't using beer to manage their epilepsy. Right, and that
did
that,
he say anything in response?
No, that was a little bit of an applause line.
Good.
In the chamber.
Beer hasn't helped anybody with cancer, as far as I remember.
Right, exactly.
Seizures and all this other good stuff.
That's great.
So true, and it's just so terrible that people use this stigma out there still till this day. I believe people are so blinded by it, right? Like, they still have this propaganda behind it that, oh, they're smoking weed. They're this and that, when there's so much of a medicinal purpose out there. How hard do you find it to be sometimes? Or is it getting a little easier, so to speak, knowing that the veterans have been benefiting so much from this? Do you find that conversation being easier, or is it still just as hard sometimes?
it can be just as hard sometimes. And veterans have obviously, you know, I think among patients have been one of the first and largest groups to really step up on a consistent basis, which, you know, thank you for all veteran patients and all patient advocates everywhere.
Yes.
Because, you know, we all stand here kind of on the shoulder of giants who have often died, you know, to bring us legal cannabis. That being said, you know, I think, you know, within that space as far as... Sorry, I immediately lost the train of thought on that question.
Both How times. Easy or hard is it to have that dialogue with folks because of the propaganda?
Yeah, right, because
it's getting easier, you know, because the world is starting to come around, and now it's becoming, you know, almost scary because there's so many new people coming in, so you don't know, you know, how it's going to be picked up, but go back.
Right, so with veterans, I think we can make a big... you know, big change in a lot of cases because, you know, we can present a story that's really hard for people to, like, impeach us on our personal experience and what we've been through, and I think a lot of people give veterans deference because of that. But I would say that there are just as many, you know, children, you know, with epilepsy or, you know, grandma with cancer. Orrin Hatch, former, you know, senator from Utah, who was one of the oldest, I think at that time, the oldest member of the Senate. He came around on medical research, at the very least, because someone in his personal circle, from my understanding, dealt with cancer, used cannabis to successfully, you know, help some of their symptoms.
You know, it's annoying, to say the least. And you have vets who are still, it's still a struggle in some communities, even though you've got this Senate bill here for what people who can, but it's other communities, it's still rampant.
Mark,
that vets don't have it.
You know, Mark, I actually, a question for you is, like, what are the legal hurdles to actually get cannabis into the insurance world? I mean,
federal. It has to go federal first. Right.
So, and then once
it has
happens,
to go federal first, because everything is free, right? Your federal, if everything is.
Then the insurance game could kick in.
Federal level.
Right.
Because you have all those federal rules and
regulations. You would
think
some of these, like, HMO, PPOs would kick in and be like, let's use the cannabis for this.
That's what I'm saying. Is it possible for one of them to actually pick this up and just start?
Well, a private insurance company could certainly do whatever they want.
They could create
their
own model.
You know, they could. Well, like, who did we interview? Aflac. Didn't we interview them and they started doing something with cannabis? I don't remember off the top of my head, but
Aflac is actually covering the growers and dispensaries.
Oh, right.
Which is it's a start.
It's a great start.
Actually, certainly isn't for health yet. I mean, you know, so but creating it for the you know, for the growers and the dispensaries, Aflac jumped in the industry, which is, you know, awesome. Shout out to Aflac.
It needs to be part of healthcare.
Yeah,
I can't go to Kaiser and go get the joint.
So just real throwing in for, like, how some other countries are doing it. Canada, their Department of Veterans Affairs reimburses every veteran who participates in their cannabis reimbursement program up to 3 grams a day.
Wow.
Yes. So there are other examples of federal systems. Canada operates in the same way, right? Like, you got a federal government, you got provincial systems, and they basically have something in place that recognizes, you know, legal cannabis as being eligible for reimbursement, and veterans are able to use that, and they use that quite a bit.
I love that. I didn't even know there was an insurance program in any other state. I just was completely oblivious to it.
And that's provided by the government of Canada in that case. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, guys, listen, you know, is there anything else that we missed before we let you out of here?
No, I really appreciate the opportunity, and thank you again to Blacklist, Immersia, Catalyst, Cannabis Talk 101 for the opportunity, you know, for the platform, and for, you know, putting a lot of great vets up here today.
And where can people reach you at?
Right. So again, veteranscannacoalition.org, at Veterans Canna Coalition on IG, Facebook.
Well, there it is, guys.
Eric, keep spreading the word, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101, and we'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Take a hit, get lit, and sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Craig, the Pop Brothers at Law, Blue and Joe Grande. We are here at in Long Beach, live on Pine and 4th Street. And we couldn't have been here without this wonderful crew that is called Cannabis Talk 101. You know, it's not just us up here. Cannabis Talk 101. I want to give a very special thanks
to everyone that is out here. Jen, our social media queen.
That's Jen, not Jen.
Jen.
No, Jan. You said Jan. You're messing it up again.
Jan.
Jan.
Mark, you messed it up.
J-A-N. It's spelled J-A-N. You could read it or you can't. Which one is it?
What is it?
Are you a lawyer that can't read?
You're a lawyer now?
I'm a lawyer who can read. And it says Jan.
Clearly, right?
Social media queen. Erica, Daniel, Cal, Irtaza, Christian, Denny, Kevin, Andrew, Zach, Cash, Cam, Solar, Nadia, Ali, Pitt, Chris, Franchino, Jennifer, and Elvis.
Yes.
That is the Cannabis Talk 101 crew. Thank you very much. We love you guys.
And now, you guys, joining us here at the table is a very special guest, Colin Wells from the Veterans Walk and Talk.
Hey.
And Colin, I love reading the things that I've already seen on there, how you're using the Native American way of the Mother Earth, and the Mother Earth is what I grew up, you know. I'm American Indian, Winnebago from Nebraska, and I have my whole Indian outfit costume, went to powwows, and I love that, you know, you, in reading some things on you, use those verbiage as when you talk about the plant, and you talk about that, and when I read that, that really drew
you.
Me to you and touched me, because I believe that that's where it comes from, the Mother Earth, right? So when you use terms like that, I see you tapping into the Native American Indians side, and I don't know if you're American Indian or where that comes from, but you might be, brother. You know what I mean? You sit there and go, look at me, I don't know if you are, but you know, Native Americans look all kinds of different ways. That being said, I love that your dialogue has that. Where does that dialogue come from, grabbing that spiritual side from the Native American ways?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. And I just want to say a special thank you to Jan as well. She's doing a great job. Jan, right?
Jan
is killing it today. We are, through our work with helping veterans and providing psychedelics and cannabis therapy to them for 5 years now, we were reached out to, gratefully, by the leader of a church called the Church of the People for Creator and Mother Earth.
Stay real tight to that mic. Get real close like you, yeah.
Church of the People.
Yes.
For Creator and Mother Earth. And that is a mushroom church that is based on the La Jolla Band of Indians Reservation. And we do monthly mushroom ceremonies there for veterans, as well as weekly sweat lodges for them. And it changed my life, brought me to Creator and Mother Earth, taught me to be a prayerful man, which I never was until very recently. And we use mushrooms to connect
to
our...
Stay tight. Stay tight up on that mic. Yes, right
there. There you go.
We use mushrooms to connect to our higher selves and to connect to Mother Nature, and so that's where it came from.
You know, are you microdosing now?
You mean right this moment? Yeah, absolutely.
Are you? Nice.
Yeah, one of the things we do is provide free microdose capsules to all our members.
Well, where are they at?
Raise
your hand if you want one.
You got to become a member.
I think it's more like raise your hand if you've already had some of mine.
Yeah, raise your hand if you haven't had one.
A lot of these people have. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the psychedelics and mushrooms right now, there's so many different strains that are coming out. It's creating its own, you know, its own lane. You know, and I, you know, I've experienced them myself, but I'm not on such a level that, you know, I've microdosed them every day, or I can't say I've experienced how to, you know, use them on that at that capacity. But I definitely do believe that, you know, it's something that people should use, you know, because I when I take mushrooms, I've totally taken way too many, and also just taken enough, if you will, to either be able to get through a day and then, or actually go on some kind of a trip that I enjoyed at those times.
Well,
too.
We do, at the church, we do 20-30 gram ceremonies, so that's where we're eating about an ounce of mushrooms each.
And an
ounce each?
Right, wow.
Yeah. So you're staying there for a good 8 hours.
Time is irrelevant.
Right.
I'm still there right now.
An ounce.
You're in La Jolla right now via Long Beach.
But the idea is to completely dissolve away any and all thoughts that you would, that the ego puts in front of you to keep you from healing. As veterans, we have all this false pride over these. I was a U.S. Army infantryman. I fought in Afghanistan.
Thank you for your service.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for your service, man.
You know, I'm very conflicted about it. I'll be honest with you. You know, I feel like a stormtrooper that's come back and taken his helmet off for the first time. So the mushrooms kind of help veterans that I work with realize that they're worth more than what they did during their time in service, whether it was 5 years or 20 years. And the mushrooms will kind of bring that out of you and teach you that you are enough and that the path that you've been on until now is what brought you to now.
When's the first time you used mushrooms for that purpose?
Disneyland.
I have two questions.
That was acid for me at Disneyland.
That's a different question. First time ever.
Sure.
Yeah.
But first time with that purpose, for that purpose.
Yeah, I've done it. I started about a year ago this month with the Church of the People for Creator and Mother Earth, and I've done it three times since then, and with almost weekly sweat lodges there too. And it's pretty profound. We've had dozens of veterans come through, and not to mention like that we do, you know, monthly hikes all over the country. In California in particular, we have Veterans Walk and Talk Sacramento, Veterans Walk and Talk Bay Area. We have Hawaii chapters going up. We're all over the country doing these hikes where we provide free mushroom capsules to anyone who hikes with us. And the healing response has been amazing. There's lots of veterans here that walk with us and have been healed.
How do people get a hold of you if they want to do that and they're listening?
They have to meet me in person. No, I'm just kidding.
There's a line behind our camera guy, right? Yeah. If you want to get in.
We have a large social media presence at Veterans Walk and Talk and veteranswalkandtalk.com. I wanted to also just take a moment to put some attention to the fact that there are hundreds and hundreds of homeless veterans living outside the West Los Angeles VA at this moment.
Right.
And we have been working really hard to get them housing with an amazing group called Semper Utilis. And Semper Utilis has brought a lot of the veterans onto the campus for the first time in history. This VA campus is bigger than Disneyland. And the fact that there's homeless veterans outside is a travesty. So I just want to shout out that November 17th, we're having a peaceful march and rally from the West LA VA to the Senate office to get these veterans homes.
That's so beautiful that you guys do that, man, because there's so many fantastic. When I see that, it just breaks my heart.
What was that date again?
That's November 17th, and it's actually run by your buddy, Mr. Checkpoint, Senate.
Oh, I know exactly
Senate's
what great. You're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. Actually, I saw him putting that out. Is he coming out today?
Yes.
I don't know. He might be under the table. I don't know.
I wish he was.
He's watching Checkpoint somewhere.
He's probably filming some costume.
I heard he was coming out today. They asked him.
He should be. I mean, he's such a big advocate and does so many good things.
Yesterday, he was in Los Angeles with Arnold Schwarzenegger. With the tent. There was a bunch of tent villages and stuff like that. And they're just talking about how, you know, not just veterans, but no one should be homeless. And there's, you know, it's unfortunate unless they want to be.
Right. And that's where I come from. I lived there. I was homeless there. I lived on that campus for 11 months as a combat trauma treatment. I'm an ex-heroin addict. You know, I've come through a lot. And I know what it's like to be on those streets because I lived on those streets for a long time. And they gotta be lifted up somehow.
How long have you been sober?
4 years.
4 years.
Congratulations. That's wonderful, man. God bless you.
And that's from methadone. I was on methadone. I count that.
Yeah.
So I was on methadone for a while. I've been off heroin for 7 years.
Congratulations. Joe's on 23 years of sobriety, guys.
All right, Joe.
Congratulations, Joe.
No, thank you, guys. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So...
Well, like you said, Creator and Mother Earth, man, that's what brought me to fruition.
And as you get this thing started in La Jolla, what drew you to there? How did you get in contact?
They found me.
They found you. Mm-hmm. And now you've just been working with them for the last, what'd you say, a few months now?
For a year now.
For a year?
Where were you when they found you?
I was probably walking aimlessly. No, I've been doing this work for 5 years now with hundreds and hundreds of veterans. Like I said, facilitating them to San Pedro, ayahuasca, DMT journeys, whatever it is that suits them. And when Shane reached out to me, based on the work he saw me doing, he offered this church up to us to come and practice this sacred art and do it, without much legal repercussion. It is still a legal gray area, which is unfortunate, but we're able to really just put the pedal to the metal and get veterans in their healing.
And it's so great, Colin, because I love the whole name of it, Veterans Walk and Talk. Let's just look at two of those things that are just so important in life. Walking around, getting your body moving is such an important quality of life that people may not realize, but it's just such a big thing. If you just walk daily, a lot of good things you're going to benefit from it, right? Unless you can, of course, there's that aspect.
Sure.
But the other thing that I love about this, which leads me into so many other therapeutic ways of talking your problems with people with similar issues has been a number one factor from, I don't care if it's AANAVABA, you call it what you want, anonymous, but it's talking. and it's talking your way through problems and through scenarios and veterans working with veterans. There's nothing better than that, folks. And if people know somebody out there, try to get in touch with somebody that they can reach out to, because in my experience in life, being able to talk my own problems in my 23 years of sobriety, that's what's been a key factor for me.
Sure.
Because you can talk to people that have been through it. And for those that are listening, if you're having whatever problem there is, you're not alone. No. Find the problem that you're having and reach out. And you don't necessarily need to have to pay $100 an hour for fucking therapy.
Just call Joe.
Everything we do is free. Everything is free for veterans. We don't charge a thing for anything ever. And
even better.
And it's amazing. And if you look there, are you in AA now? NA?
Yeah, I do. I do the whole program.
Have you looked into psychedelics and recovery?
I have not. I've talked to several people about it. I'm a huge fan of what mushrooms are doing. In every conversation I have with people, it's so funny, Colin, because I literally had a conversation last night at my son's football game. He had a playoff game, and I was talking to these two lawyers, and I go, you know, this microdosing, I've not heard one bad anecdotal rebuttal of how it's made them feel, act, and this and that. And I've been saying how mushrooms is the next big movement, especially for, I said this, veterans, because I see them, or any trauma patient for that matter, that's dealing with, you name the problem. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of other problems in life that are out there, but I'm a huge advocate of it as I'm in the program. I'm not anti Mr. Everybody, you know, no. I'm like, to each their own with their program.
Well, psychedelics and recovery is an actual AA program for people who use psychedelics to heal themselves. And they have meetings in Long Beach, San Diego, all over the place. It's pretty cool. I go often. That's, it's amazing. Nice.
Yeah, I'm not one that sits there and preaches don't. I'm sitting there preaching, do what works for you.
Yeah,
sure. You know what I mean?
I'm should be allowed to. That you mentioned right. Gray area and stuff. I mean, it's...
Well, no. It's gray area when you talk strictly the program of AA and NA. When you mention that to
No.
People who've done those books and read the program, and they're very strict. Yeah, there's a quote-unquote strict protocol.
Talking about using drugs that are still illegal.
Exactly, and they don't have a fucking problem when if you go to the doctor, well, they're not prescribing.
We call that at Veterans Walk and Talk. There. We have a motto. We call it guerrilla wellness, which is wellness at all costs.
That. And yes,
I've been an outlaw for years doing what I do, and I'll keep being an outlaw as long as it keeps helping people.
Good for you.
Love it, man. Well, anything else before we let you get on out of here that you want to share with our listeners?
No, I'm just huge shout out to Eric from Veterans Cannabis Coalition, Veterans Cannabis Group, for putting this on. This is an amazing event, and all the Veterans Walk and Talk members out here, I love you guys. Thank you all so much.
We love you all. Thank you so much, Colin. Appreciate you, brother.
Well, guys, Harvest for Heroes right here in downtown Long Beach off of Pine, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. I think all those streets are taken up right now. It's all for the veterans, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101, and remember this. If no one else loves you, we do!
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.